The Lead Story is proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, insight, advice, impact.
I'm joined by Natasha Bellefeld. She's the CEO, founder of NAM Media. Welcome, Natasha.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Natasha, what does NAM Media do?
So we've been operational since way before 2011, but in the name or capacity of NAM Media since then. And we basically have to, you know, follow a systematic process of observing, collecting, and analyzing various forms of media, then to gain insights into what are the prevailing narratives or trends, be it in the corporate sector, economic, political, in society, so that we can gain perspectives within the media landscape. So we look at a broad range of media sources. We look at traditional outlets like our newspapers, our television and radio, and then also, of course, digital platforms, our social media, our online news and websites and forums.
Natasha, you recently teamed up with the media ombudsman, John Akuta, to monitor election coverage. How did it go? Please explain to us.
So this was very exciting. First time that we've collaborated with the media ombudsman and fantastic donors and sponsors that made academics that made this possible. Very insightful and a big learning curve for all of us. I mean, the landscape, media landscape has changed drastically. And, you know, we built some key performance indicators all in all, just to start looking at, if you look at a big political party or ruling like SWAPO, you look at all the other competing political parties, how do media fairly report on a diversity of issues? What are the media slants? You know, what are some of the trends we can see in terms of how political parties are covered throughout the month, or the consistency in their volume coverage, but also in the messaging? So for us, it was important to track to what this extent were they active in either using influences or performances or engagements with the voters to gain support? To what extent did they promote their manifestos? And we tracked that to a large extent to see whether, you know, people actually knew what the political parties were standing for. And, you know, a lot of this we started monitoring in the 1st of July. But most of that now only came out about the last, let's say, between 2 to 6 weeks. So it differs per political party. But if you look at, of course, your ruling party would have had the larger volume coverage and, of course, good representation across media. But we saw for our local, you know, government and private-owned media, if you look at the size to voter, let's say the size of the party per 100 votes they would have received historically or then projecting forward. We did see fair reporting and then also in terms of volume and slanting, including the smaller political parties and their messaging. And what we also found interesting is, you know, the use of online media has just exploded. So the way to get that message across, and I mean, like you just said earlier, you've been working so hard because you've got so many owned media channels that have been coordinating that message across all your platforms, all your sister media outlets, you know, different languages in our country, you know, reaching audiences nationally, how to get that message across, well, you know, appropriately to the different voters. And for us, you know, of the more than a million, I think 1.25, I could be wrong, of the million of the voters registered, a majority of those are youth, or above 90% are below 30 years old. So how are we talking about the youth, about poverty alleviation, about anti-corruption measures, and especially about women representation, and then the possibility of the first ever female president. And of course, the competition between the political parties, new energy, and almost like a real expectation for change, you know, since 2019, everybody really involved, they know what they are voting for, they want to vote. So, you know, I think the expectations is really big in terms of the coming change. And if you read what was posted or discussed by the SABC News from South Africa, but also by Al Jazeera, and what trends they picked up and what they started predicting in terms of, you know, Itula really, according to them and their sources, having a footing with the youth, with the younger voters, and, you know, them starting to see trends where they expect a real shuffle in the number of seats allocated to different political parties. So I think all of that, you know, excites us into deducing results to trends and what we can learn from these elections and looking at voter behavior and you know, actual results. This year is going to be really, really significant and different. I mean, if you just look at the ruling party SWAPO, the number of influencers that they used, you know, big guys like Gaza, he's got 376,000 followers, or King DB, he's also got above 380,000 followers, or designers like Roberta Scholes. It's a very diverse spectrum of influencers that could then, you know, appeal to different audiences. Also like your Khuro Molton, or as we know, OCEDs, no? And then, you know, you've got still a very dedicated agenda that was driven by Itula, that's very firm and fixed on, you know, the solutions and probable angles of approach that we would need to discuss if we were to manage this country differently, or then also, you know, listen, learn, and engage from a voter perspective. So, you know, all of this, very exciting, a lot of change ahead of us, but, you know, most of all, picking all this up from the media monitoring volumes and platforms, I think we're all really learning a lot and expecting a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Natasha, do you think the project has served its purpose?
Absolutely. I think, first of all, get academics, researchers, actual political parties, your media staff involved. The aim is to monitor the media. Are we being unfolding fair in our reporting? Do we give fair chance for coverage on all the different political parties? We can't require that just in terms of volumes, but in terms of fairness, if there is a message to communicate, we did see, yes. So diverse platforms, our owned, our national media outlets, really did a good job in driving the various manifestos or presidential candidates, you know, party events, all of that, given perhaps in some circumstances, you know, reserved financial resources for parties to really compete on the same footing, but then at least to have their voice be heard, not only online, but in traditional media like our broadcast, which is most widely received. So I think the platform for discussion and then creating ultimate awareness, and then by, you know, engaging with journalists and looking at what was covered on the JEP and how that still ongoingly, you know, guided us to just ask the questions. Are we voting the right guys, asking the right questions towards the elections? You know, what build-up do we have? What is our mandate as a media reporting firm? How do we, what is the requirements of us to really get our voters engaged? So the exercise in itself definitely succeeded in the purpose of the study. And I think the media ombudsman really also set the bars as a one-man office, of what's really important, you know. start humble, start real, and then with the vision of keeping everybody informed and then reporting to their best capabilities and, of course, in fairness.
Yes. Natasha, I don't want to keep you. Just the last question. Are you satisfied with the election process?
Well, sure, I count as well. But the process itself, you know, we had many ups and downs and, of course, you know, the ballot papers and then questioning towards the Electoral Commission, in, you know, parties taking each other on about where their funding was from, you know, in terms of international funding. But the process itself, I think, has been fairly covered. We're very fortunate in terms of our press freedom. And then, you know, support from neighboring countries has been excellent. If you follow the news or you look at the global taps of news sources, the support to Namibia as a country, to the voter predominantly, you know, even though the votes came through and we focus on the Nandi and we focus on Itula, but we still underline here, all media houses say, we want to change. The people says they want, you know, rule of law that can work against poverty and against corruption and towards greater nation building. And also we've got great prospects in terms of our growing economy. So I think mobilizing all energy towards what is good and conducive for building Namibia, not just politically, definitely more economically, and competitively, you know, in Southern Africa. We've seen a lot of good support, good supporters that's been advocating for the change that we all think we need.
Natasha, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Thank you a million. And let's see what happens.
The lead story was proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, insight, advice, impact.